Can I invite Liz as our next speaker?
Okay, hi everybody. I'm Liz. I'm a recovering under-earner, and I've been coming to UA for about 3 years, and I had been in another fellowship for a long time before that, which had really transformed my life on many levels. But I had become more aware that there was something else that was going on with me that I couldn't really identify. I knew that I only ever had enough money just to survive. It was a battle just to survive. And I was seeing other people around me who were succeeding and prospering in a way that I wasn't. And I couldn't understand what it was. I'd grown up in a family that really had some quite unhealthy attitudes around money. My mother's mantra was, we don't talk about money. And, you know, a sense that obvious wealth was, you know, in poor taste. And, you know, a lot of very unhealthy attitudes. And I developed a belief that there were a lot of things in life that were for other people, but they weren't for me. And that was a very strong belief that I held. And somebody in my other fellowship sent me a YouTube video about under-earning. And it was like a light bulb going off. I thought, this is it. This is what my problem is. And it's not just about the money. So I came to my first meeting in Hind Street about three years ago. And I live outside London. So I knew that that wasn't going to be something that I was going to be able to afford to do on a weekly basis. And then, of course, the pandemic came and lockdown and everything went online. And, you know, for me, that was fabulous. And I ended up going to sort of 4 or 5 meetings every week. So for me in this programme, step one was just a no-brainer. I was 1,000% convinced that I was powerless over my under-earning. I tried everything that I could. And I was just baffled and frustrated and exhausted, and I didn't know what else to do. So there had to be another way. And I had taken step two in my other programme, and it's beautifully expressed, that process that I went through with step two. First I came, then I came to, and then I came to believe. And that worked for me in that programme. And, you know, I then went on to take step three and turn my will and my life over to the care of that higher power. And I had seen many examples in my life of my higher power doing for me what I was unable to do for myself. But it was different in this programme, because under-earning for me is so deep. It's the core of me. And there is so much fear around it. That it was such a challenge to trust. And as well, you know, I thought, what does sanity mean in this context? You know, I'm not insane. You know, I've managed this for so long. I'm not insane. And the solution is obvious. I need a larger salary, or I need a financial windfall. And, you know, if my higher power is not going to rig the lottery or bring in my premium bonds, then what is he going to do? But, you know, the thing about sanity, I was actually at my regular meeting last month and we spoke about step two. What does sanity mean? Apparently sanity means health. And what does health mean? Health means wholeness. And I realised that, you know, I had not been living a whole life. I'd hidden away from the world. I hadn't used my talents and abilities. I hadn't even recognised or acknowledged that I had talents and abilities. So I had only partially been living my life. So I could come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to wholeness and fullness. Because my main solution with dealing with this in the past was just extreme deprivation. I mean, deprivation to the most extreme degree. I felt that I had to settle for what I had. I couldn't reach for maybe things that I could have had. I clung on to every penny that I had. And, you know, I restricted my life to a really, really extreme degree and told myself that there were things that most people would regard as necessities I didn't need. But I realise now that that way of living was not allowing prosperity into my life. You know, they say, you know, nothing can come into a clenched fist, and that's what my fists were like. They were clenching on for dear life. So nothing could come into it. You know, I was closing myself off to any kind of opportunities to prosper, and I needed to do the opposite of that. I needed to open myself up to that and to my higher powers' solutions. And I hear people in the programme when they say the Serenity Prayer, after they say it, they say, "Thy will, not mine." And I don't say that. I say, "Thy solutions, God, not mine," because I think I have the solutions. And they're blindingly obvious to me, and I just think, come on, catch up, higher power. But that's not... that, you know, I've come to believe that that is not the case. And when I think about myself in the cave, I think about my vision in the cave. I mean, very literally, I'm in a cave and there are the walls of the cave. And what can I see? I can see a bit of the beach, I can see some of the sea and part of the sky. And that's all. Maybe a few prospering people walking past on the beach. But my higher power can see it all. He can see 360 degrees. He can see beyond the horizon to things that I can't even imagine or things that I can't imagine, and that's what I need to remember in step two. So since being in UA, and I'm now over 50, I've asked for a pay rise for the first time in my entire life, because my normal job experience is just feeling grateful that anybody's even given me a job, never mind anything else. So I set out to my manager what I bring to the business, which meant for the first time in my life actually valuing myself and my own capabilities. And I told him what people, you know, doing similar jobs are earning, which meant bringing myself, you know, putting myself on a level with other people again for the first time in my life. And I got the pay rise with the promise of a further one down the line. So when I came to UA, I had no vision, no goals. My only vision was survival, just hanging in there, you know, getting through things, and a terrible fear about the future. And today I have a really big vision. I have a vision to move to Canada, to Vancouver, where my two sons now live. And I I'm handing that over not only to my higher power, but the immigration specialist as well. But I am taking steps, the steps that I'm able to do to bring that vision alive. And that is beyond my wildest dreams. I could never have imagined, I'm quite emotional, I could never have imagined that that could have been for me, because it's for other people. Other people do stuff like that, but I don't. And I have to admit that there are days when I think about the lottery and those, you know, competitions on breakfast TV. But I do know that prospering is far more than money, you know, and I have come to believe that my higher power wants me to live a full and prosperous life and fulfil the potential that he gave to me. And, you know, for me, that is the hope of step two. So I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thanks.